It being Easter Sunday, and since we put up adverts for this morning, we are going to be considering something of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and most especially dealing with the question that was put on the posters, which is life after death possible? Is life after death possible? You will find secularists will say to you, well, clearly not, as there is no scientific evidence at all for life after death. If you talk to them about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will say, ah, but there is no scientific evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no one there with a modern scientific mind who could certify that the body was really dead. And even if the body was really dead, there was no one scientifically trained to examine the body after the resurrection to certify that he was in fact alive again. Such skepticism means that you really can't believe anything. Who won the Battle of Trafalgar? Was it Napoleon? What scientific experiment can we conduct to see who won the Battle of Trafalgar? The answer is, there is none. Who won the Battle of Agincourt? We cannot know, because there is no scientific experiment that we can do to reenact the battle to see who won. Who won the Battle of Crecy? The same applies. Who won the Battle of Hastings? We cannot know if we are to adopt the attitude of the secularist and say that unless we can recreate the event, it is impossible to know. Of course, there are those who would say, well, the solution is really quite easy. All we need to do is to pop down to Cardiff and borrow an old battered police box and program it appropriately and travel back into the past and observe any event that we want. Except, of course, the TARDIS is notoriously unreliable as to where it goes in both time and space. So even though there are those who think that's no longer true, it is a well-known fact that when he said to Amy Pond, I'll be back in 10 minutes, it was quite a few years before he returned, and she was considered to be stark raving mad. Such things, sadly, are not possible. We cannot do this. We cannot recreate past events. And if a unique... Sorry, that should be if an unique event takes place. It is impossible to recreate it because it's unique. It would be wonderful to go back and see the birth of my son. I missed it by a matter of minutes. But it's not possible. And so the consistent secularist has to say, well, how do you know that he was born of your wife? You don't know that. When you start saying such things, you get to see how absurd it is. When people demand scientific evidence for everything, you have to question their own existence. You get to an absurd situation, and yet they will tell you all about the formation of the universe They weren't there. No one was there to observe this. Where were the scientifically trained observers to watch the origin of the universe? There was no one there. Except God, who happens to have told us about what happened. The origin of man. There was no one there. Except God, who has told us. Unique events of the past are not open to scientific investigation. And yet, governments pour billions of pounds into university departments for professors to sit in their chairs and speculate, and that's all it is, it's speculation, to speculate on what happened, they say, thousands of millions of years ago, but it is no more than speculation. They will say to you, but it's all based upon the laws of physics. They can't even tell you if the laws of physics, as we observe them, applied 1,000 years ago. We don't know the laws of physics were the same 1,000 years ago, let alone whether the laws of physics still apply on Alpha Centauri, which is, I believe, and I'm open to correction on this, 4.2 light years away. And in astronomical terms, that's quite close. We don't know these things. It is assumed that the laws of physics apply everywhere in the universe. But we don't know that. It's an article of faith. Similarly, the laws of physics being the same 1,000 years ago, let alone 1 million or 1 billion years ago. It's an article of faith. We don't know. So when these so-called scientists start jumping up and down and saying your belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is unscientific, you really should point out to them that so is theirs. And that their beliefs are very often more irrational than they claim ours are. The whole thing about history is it is reported to us by people who were observers there at the time. Now, it is said that history is written by the winners, and so therefore, if you read in most history books, Richard III was the most obnoxious, the most awful king of England that the world has ever seen. And yet if you read contemporary accounts, you discover that he was quite a well-liked king. And it's perhaps Henry Tudor, who became Henry VII, who should be regarded as quite an obnoxious character. But Henry Tudor won the battle, and so him and his followers are the ones who got to write the history. But history is written down, recorded by observers, which is what we've got with regard to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is life after death possible? The answer has to be yes, because we have the clear example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, having been dead, quite clearly dead, and yet within 3 days he was alive again and observed by people who were not expecting ever to see him again. And even Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, by a crowd of more than 500 at the same time. This was not hallucination. This was an appearance of the risen Christ. Neither was it an hallucination when the Lord Jesus appeared to them and said, are you hungry? Would you like some breakfast? Look, I'm cooking some fish. Look, I am flesh and blood like you are. I am not a spirit. You can touch me. You can handle me. You can watch me eating and drinking. This was not hallucination. This was not a spirit. This was a real, solid person as real as you and me, and yet this man had been dead, but was now alive, but alive with a new kind of life, which we have not yet experienced. And it should not have been a surprise to the disciples, as it was. They were shocked. They were not expecting to see him alive again, and there he was. We hardly believe this. I mean, you're dead, but you're alive. They should have expected it. Why should they have expected it? Well, they should have known about someone who already believed in the possibility of life after death and in the possibility of resurrection, and that was a man by the name of Abraham. Did Abraham believe in resurrection? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 makes it quite clear that he did. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was in the act of offering up his own son. I want you to offer, says God to Abraham, your only son Isaac, through whom I have promised to make you a great nation, through whom I have promised to bless the world. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. I want you to kill him. And Abraham was going to kill him. Abraham raised the knife to kill him, and God stopped him. We know from this that Abraham believed in resurrection because he considered that God, this is verse 19 of Hebrews 11, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham believed in life after death. Abraham believed in resurrection because Abraham was prepared to kill his own son, knowing that God's promises could only be fulfilled through his son. So therefore, if God asks him to offer him as a sacrifice, then God's going to have to raise him from the dead. That's what Abraham believed. That's why Abraham had no problem. The disciples were also present when Jesus debated with Pharisees and with Sadducees. And in Matthew chapter 22, we find that the Sadducees try and trip Jesus up. They come along and they ask him a question. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day Sadducees came to him who say there is no resurrection, and they ask him a question. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third, down to the seventh, after them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, gotcha now, they're thinking, you can't answer this question, can you? In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered them, you are wrong. You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? It's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, Jesus says. You're supposed to know the Old Testament. Don't you know this? As for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. Anyone comes to you and says, oh no, when you're dead, you're dead. But I believe the Bible. Point them to this passage. There are people who come knocking on your door trying to sell you copies of the Watchtower magazine. They falsely call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And they will say to you that when you die, you are dead. That's it. There is nothing. But come the resurrection, God will recreate you from his memory. And then those who are good enough will go and live for eternity on a new earth. And those who are deemed not good enough will be destroyed again and cease to exist.
And you think, well, why would God recreate them only to destroy them again? But there you go, that's another issue. But they say, when you die, that's it, you're dead. There is no consciousness. Jesus says otherwise. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus says that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are alive now. They are not dead. Their bodies might be dead, but they are not dead. They continue to have existence beyond the grave. And one day, their bodies will be raised from the dead, and their spirits will be reunited with their bodies, because the current situation is abnormal. The proper situation, as God designed us, was that we should be body and soul integrated in one. But it's because of the fall of man, the sin of Adam, that we physically die, but we continue in spirit to live beyond the grave. Jesus speaks about this also in Luke chapter 16, where you can read about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus both die, but they continue to have conscious existence until the resurrection. Jesus speaks in John chapter 5 about resurrection. And he says in verse 29 of John chapter 5, he speaks about two kinds of resurrection. He speaks here first about a resurrection to life and then a resurrection from the tombs. We read from verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead in trespasses and sins, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. They will receive spiritual life. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, but is not here yet. It's coming when all who are in the tombs, those who are physically dead, will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In chapter 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, he is speaking to Lazarus's sisters. And we read in verse 23, they are mourning the death of their brother. And Jesus says to Martha, your brother will live again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Back from what is being said in John chapter 5, Jesus has the power of life and death. He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And then Jesus goes to the tomb and raises Lazarus back to life. But it's only back to this life. Lazarus later died again, but he will be raised from the dead in the future, along with the rest of us, be reunited with his continuing to exist and conscious spirit, and will dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ on a renewed earth forever, enjoying fellowship and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as will all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. People will ask the question, when you're talking about the resurrection and life after death, they will say, so, we can communicate with the dead then. So let's go and visit the local spiritualist, and we can talk to great-granddad. We can talk to Henry VIII and find out why was he so insistent on chopping off the heads of some of his wives? Why was he so bothered about having a male heir? People do this. They're very foolish, because you can't communicate with the dead. There are some people who say, ah, but the Bible talks about such a thing. They'll refer you back to 1 Samuel chapter 28 about the witch of Endor, who apparently raised up Samuel and was able to converse with him. If this really was Samuel, this was extremely exceptional. It's the only instance in the whole of Scripture. The witch of Endor was shocked. Perhaps she was used to deceiving people and saying, oh yes, well, your Uncle Fred, yes, well, he has this to tell you, and that, yes, everything is okay. That's the evil part of spiritualism, that what is communicated is, all is well. You don't need to worry. It's fine being dead. We're enjoying ourselves here. One day you're going to join us. Don't listen to all those Christians who tell you that one day you must stand before God in judgment. It's a lot of nonsense. Which immediately tells you that spiritualism is a big lie, because they're not telling the truth. If spiritualists are in communication with anyone, it is not with the dead, it is with demons. And demons do not tell the truth. Demons delight to mislead and to distract away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is true. Let's listen to what God says in the Scriptures and follow what the Scriptures teach. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, demonstrating that he had paid the debt of our sin that was due to God. The thing that holds people in the grave is sin. If you go down to our burial ground, you can sit there all day and all night for the next 10 years, if you can find a suitable seat to sit in, if you can find suitable clothing to protect you from the weather, if you can find someone daft enough to supply you with food and drink during that period, you could sit there and you could wait for someone to rise from the dead, and you'll be completely wasting your time. No one will. But the Lord Jesus Christ has. We read in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 23. Talk about what Jesus did when he died. It was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, which he's just described, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, not the blood of bulls and goats. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year, with blood not his own, the blood of the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus went into the real most holy place, the presence of God, with the blood of the sacrifice, his own blood. He showed that there had been a death for sin, a death that dealt with the sins of the whole world. And so now the way was open for anyone who repents and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven for their sins, because the punishment has been paid by the Lord Jesus. And just as the high priest would go in with the whole nation standing around the tabernacle, would go in with the blood, They would all be standing there looking. Is the sacrifice acceptable this year? Will the high priest come out? Or will God take him? Because it's not acceptable. And with great relief, they would see the high priest return. They would know that this year God had accepted the sacrifice. But now we have the real sacrifice of Jesus and his blood going into the real most holy place. And the resurrection is Jesus coming out from the presence of God saying, look, the sacrifice has been made. The blood has been presented. The sacrifice is acceptable. And now I have returned to show that that is the case. The Lord Jesus Christ fully paid the penalty that was due to sin. He has returned from the dead to show us that that is the case. And now we know that the only thing that prevents us from knowing God, from knowing the forgiveness of our sins, is unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the account of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man is very concerned for his family. And he asks, firstly, that his own sufferings might be relieved by Lazarus. And he's told that's not possible because there's a great gulf fixed. And then he says, then I beg you, Father, send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham says to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. And sadly, that is so true. You read the scriptures, it is plain and it is clear that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. But where is everybody? Why do people not believe? It is not because of lack of evidence. It is because of the state of the human heart. The human heart is so wicked and corrupt that it refuses to listen to what God says. Even when God in grace and mercy sends his own son to die for the sins of the world still says, not interested, we don't want to know, we enjoy our sin. And then they complain when they go to judgment and are punished for their sin. This is not fair. But you've been offered salvation. Salvation is free to all who will listen to the gospel message and repent and believe. Well, that's not fair because we don't want to repent and believe. But you must repent and believe. That is the only way. God is so gracious and kind and merciful to us. How wicked we are to tell God what he should do and ignore God's gracious offering of salvation to us. Can you see just how wicked the world is in declining God's gracious offer? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ should cause those of us who believe to rejoice and to know in our hearts joy unspeakable and full of glory, because this is all true. And we will one day be raised from the dead and enjoy eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And we will be like him when we see him as he is. He is the first fruits of what is to come. He has demonstrated what kind of bodies we shall have in glory. Glorious bodies. Not like the bodies we currently occupy, which suffer. We get all sorts of physical problems. There will be no such problems in eternity. We will have perfect bodies given to us by God at the resurrection. And that's what all true believers look forward to the resurrection, when they will have glorified bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your hope this morning? Are you looking forward to the resurrection? Are you looking forward to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorious, renewed body freed from sin? If so, we should be rejoicing and knowing God's blessing in our hearts and seeking to tell anyone who will listen about this glorious good news. And if we do not know our sins forgiven, we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, we do not know that we have a glorious hope laid up for us in heaven, there is a glorious offer still made to all who do not yet believe, which is, if you will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will receive you immediately, and he will give you this glorious hope in your heart with the knowledge of sins forgiven, and you will then rejoice with the rest of us over what God has done for your soul.